Beyond the Headlines every morning. This is the Ryan Gorman Show on News Radio WFLA.
Ryan Gorman here with Dana McKay and James Berlander. And now let's go to the hotline and bring in our air travel and market expert, Jay Ratliff, who you can find online at daytradefund.com. That's daytradefund.com. Jay, it's great to talk to you this morning. And let me start with the January jobs report from Friday. I think too many people are looking at the economy through a political lens. And if you just look at the data, where things stand right now, there's just no question this is a solid economy.
There's concerns about the economy going too fast and the Fed trying to hold things back to kind of keep inflation in check. So there's a lot of challenges right here. And we have so many different opinions on what the next best step is. But if we can agree, as most people tend to, that the Fed has done a pretty good job up till now, then I'm one that would say, okay, then I'm going to defer to them as we move forward as far as what the best course of action is going to be. And if that's the case, then if they're looking at gradual interest rate reductions over a period of time, I think that's the way to go. As you and I have talked before, I don't see the Fed doing anything massive quickly because that's not how we got here. They did things over an extended period of time, raising interest rates. Yeah. So when we do get to the point that we start to, you know, decrease the altitude, if you will, I think it's going to be slow and steady. I still am seeing people, and this just blows my mind, that says, okay, we're not going to see a March interest rate cut, and that's, you and I have already discussed that was probably not going to happen, but we still have time for 7 cuts this year. I'm thinking, if I'm Jerome Powell, I stop even talking, because regardless of what the man says as the Fed chair, Ryan, people just shrug it off like, I hear you, but this is what I think is going to happen. And it continues just to baffle me to the point I'm laughing at people.
When you look at what we've seen over the past couple of weeks, the GDP growth that we've seen, the jobs numbers that we've seen, the wage numbers that we've seen, you know, you got to go back to last year, at the beginning of last year, and think about what the expectations were, that this economy was essentially going to tip into recession as the Fed was trying to bring down inflation. Not only did that not happen, but I mean, we're talking about a robust economy at the moment. Again, not without problems like we were talking about earlier in the show, like here in Florida, property insurance, car insurance. I mean, these things are costing people a fortune and it's really having an impact on their daily finances. But from a big picture, and then when you zoom out and look at us compared to other countries and how they've navigated all of this coming out of the pandemic, I mean, it's not even close.
Well, I think you're right. From a macroeconomic view, there's a lot here that we can celebrate. And one of the concerns the Fed had was, how do we try to put the brakes on things as we need without shoving the country into recession while we're trying to keep the country out of any sort of a further economic dip? So far, they've done pretty well. There's still a lot of concerns that are out there because I still think that we've got some inflationary concerns that could still rear their head over the next several months, but the trends are starting to develop where we certainly see the growing, I think, assurance that, the interest rate cuts are coming. It's just a matter of going to be when. I still think it's going to be May or June. I still think it's going to be middle of the year before we have it. And then once they start, they could be rattled off on a regular basis as we saw the interest rate increases. And I think that the Fed's going to be more relaxed in doing so. But as you and I have talked about before, when the battle of inflation happened all those years ago in the 70s, exact same thing. Fed got involved. Things looked great. Economy looked good. Mm-hmm. They let off their foot off the accelerator, and inflation blew by us so bad that it took 10 years for us to get on the other side of it. They're scared to death that they could repeat that history. And even though it's not, what would be considered politically expedient by a lot of people, I think they're doing the right thing. President Trump says a lot of the Fed's maneuverings have been politically motivated. I don't see that. I see Jerome Powell saying, look, economics is economics. They don't care who's in office. They're trying to do what's in the best interest of the country. And although I've never agreed with the quantitative easing positions that the government has taken, shoving money into the economy to try to stabilize it, I've never agreed with that. But as far as the approach that we've seen of late with the interest rate increases and the pause before we'd see the reductions, I think it's the proper course of action simply because it seems to be working, and it's been working over an extended period of time.
We're joined by our air travel and market expert, Jay Ratliff. You can find him online at daytradefund.com. So, Jay, let's switch over to the aviation side of things. And I have to ask you about this small plane crash that happened here in the Tampa Bay area, a small plane going directly into a mobile home and a mobile home park. What have you seen from that story that stands out to you?
Well, I mean, the fact that we were able to receive a report from the pilot that indicated that there was a problem with the engine is going to allow the National Transportation Safety Board, as they get into this investigation and continue, they're obviously going to be looking at a lot of different things. And since there is an indication there could have been something wrong with the engine, they'll start with the maintenance records and everything that they can get their hands on. And, of course, anytime you're talking about general aviation and commercial aviation, there's paperwork trail for everything. So that's exactly what's going to happen. Now, absent of that report, they would have to look at, okay, was it something where there was a medical condition with a pilot? I mean, what could have contributed to this? Because a lot of times there's a multitude of contributing factors, not just one. But the fact that there was a report of a problem with the engine is where they're going to start. And obviously with that Piper Comanche aircraft, one of the things they're going to do is see if there was a problem with that engine that was maintenance related, part related, or if it was a situation where maybe something needs to be looked at that could have impacted all those aircraft that were made at the same time that that one was. So it's an investigation that's going to take several months, and the NTSB's really just begun at this point in time. And I was sad and irritated to hear about people that were trying to get close to take pictures, do different types of things, because it's a scene that it's not a crime scene, but it's treated as such because the investigators are looking for every single bit of items as far as anything that could help them in their investigation. And I know a lot of times when we'd have commercial airplane crashes, Ryan, we'd have people that would show up to take souvenirs home. And some of those pieces of the plane were an integral part of the investigation that the NTSB inspectors needed. Right. And the idea that people would walk off. So, again, I'm just glad they contained that as much as they did, and was sorry to hear some of the other things, because it's disrespectful, one, but it also impedes the investigation.
Last thing I want to ask you about real quick, and again, we're joined by our air travel and market expert, Jay Ratliff. There's been this story, this discussion taking place, mainly on the right, about DEI, diversity, equity, and inclusion in the airline industry. And some of the comments have been pretty, I think, racially
charged.
Yes. Thank you, Dana. That's definitely the right word. What can you tell us about that? You even had people saying, like, if there's a black pilot, I would be concerned about flying on that plane.
Now, that's an idiotic, asinine comment, if my personal opinion on that. But the other thing is, when United Airlines a number of years ago said that they wanted to increase the number of, as far as their diversity in pilots, they wanted to hire more minority pilots and more women pilots, which I think is great. The problem is they set very specific guidelines. We want X percent of our new hiring classes to be this particular pool of candidates. And that's when I have a problem. I'm thinking, now, wait a minute, are we more interested in finding the most qualified individuals, or are we trying to make sure that we hit this particular target? Because then that's an issue. Because if you're trying to reach a number and you've got a pilot that is, let's say, that's a man that has 12,000 flight hours and is more qualified for the job, but then you've got a female pilot that only has 6,000 flight hours, well, if you're trying to fit that quota, well, you're going to lean towards the woman pilot. And does that, in fact, reduce the expertise? Does that, you know, perhaps interject a safety issue? Yes, it could in that case. And that's why I love seeing the attention given to more pilots, more minorities, as far as women, those types of things. I love that. But when you try to force it, it becomes an issue to me, because then you're making the decisions for the wrong way. And when the Federal Aviation Administration a couple of years came out ago and said, look, we're not hiring enough diversity within the air traffic controllers, let's drastically lower the entrance requirements to allow people to come in. That is a huge issue to me, because all of a sudden now people that before would not have been qualified are now being allowed to become air traffic controllers. And now that we're seeing a lot of these near misses and other types of things, which some have been the fault of the crews, Ryan, some of them have been part of the fault of the air traffic controllers. I mean, we've got to go back and look further as far as, okay, did any of the DEI initiatives contribute to any of this? I think it certainly should be looked at. But I mean, I want the best qualified mechanics, pilots, air traffic. I don't care anything as far as gender, sex, orientation. I don't care about any of that. I just want the best qualified men and women in those roles. And far too often, the objectives that we have where people are trying to force things many times work against us. And I just hope it does not put us in harm's way. Now, look, I'm a big fan of President Trump, but when he comes out and says that there it could be a DEI connection to a wheel falling off that Delta flight as it was preparing for takeoff, I'm thinking, please don't say these things, because it could have been simply a part that was fatigued, that snapped, broke, and the wheel comes off. It doesn't mean that it had anything to do with somebody's qualifications. And certainly, you have to investigate that kind of stuff to see exactly what the root cause or causes might happen to be.
News Radio WFLA market and air travel expert Jay Ratliff with us this morning. You can find him online at daytradefund.com. Again, that's daytradefund.com. Jay, really great conversation this morning. Thanks so much for coming back on.
My pleasure.
All right. When we come back, we'll wrap